Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, I'm Steph.
I'm Alex.
And this is Not Today.
And we're live.
Hey.
How you doing?
Great. How are you doing?
You know, start my morning with a little bit of story.
That's good.
Works out for me. What do we got going on today? What's on the menu?
I'm serving you up some listener stories.
A word?
Yeah. And these are some good ones.
Okay.
They're very creepy. One of them, I finished reading it for the first time and my jaw was fully open. I was like, wait, what?
Okay. I unbeknownst to me, this was a listener's episode.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite. We haven't done one in a while.
I know.
Well, let's get to the people without further ado, unless you have something to tell.
I always have something to say. If you want to check out all of our bonus episodes, head over to our Patreon, where there are 55 bonus episodes. I think when this episode comes out, we're in the middle of the bonus episode number 55 poll. So our patrons have voted on a bonus episode, and that will come out soon. So check it out. They're always good stories. We talk about really interesting things over there, and there's other fun perks as well. So head over to patreon.com/nottodaypodcast and check it out. But now we can get into our listener stories, because why waste any time? The people have written in, and I would love to share it with you.
The people have written.
And you too can write in your story if you have something like this or something crazy that you would like to share with us. You can send it to notodaypodcast@gmail.com. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Hi, longtime listener, first time emailer. I have a story of something eerie that happened to me, and I'm reminded of it anytime I hear a Let's Not Meet episode. I've talked myself out of emailing this to you multiple times because I think there's really not much to the story, but part of me feels like that's why it's so creepy. In September of 2001, when I was in my second year of college, my family planned a trip out of state to visit my aunt, who sadly was very ill with stomach cancer. She was my dad's sister, and my parents, brother, and sister-in-law planned a family trip around being able to visit with her for what we all understood might be the last time, and it was. My family were avid motorcycle riders, and my dad, my brother, and I all had motorcycles. We planned the trip around a big motorcycle event that was happening in a city nearby my aunt's house. The plan was that my brother and dad and I would ride to our destination while my mom and sister-in-law followed us in the RV. Unfortunately, it was soon revealed that I had a final exam that fell in the same week that we planned to leave for our trip. I wasn't able to reschedule the exam, so our plans had to shift. Brother and dad rode their motorcycles while mom and sister drove the RV, towing my bike on the trailer behind them, and that way I could participate in the motorcycle rally and ride home with the boys. I would stay home for a few days while they were traveling, take my final exam, and then fly out to meet them after my class concluded. If you recall from the start of my story, this is taking place in September of 2001. Tragically, the terrorist attacks of 9/11 took place just before this family trip was scheduled to occur. Everyone was rightfully shaken to their core, and my dad, an Army veteran, ultimately made the decision to not postpone the trip, as his sister's failing health might not permit a visit later in the year. He and my mom and siblings left as scheduled, and I remained home with the hopes that my college campus would reopen so that I could finish my classes as scheduled. It was a bizarre and confusing time for everyone in America, and we were all just trying to manage fears and emotions while figuring out how to resume life. Airports across the country closed down immediately after September 11th and stayed closed for several days. My dad called me from my aunt's house and let me know he was able to transfer my plane ticket to the first flight leaving to the closest major airport if I was still interested in making the trip.
Wait, so you're on like some of the first flights after 9/11?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so that's eerie in itself. The desire to see my aunt one last time was greater than the fear of flying in such an uncertain time. I made my way to the airport in a shuttle, as Uber was not an option at that time, and private vehicles were not being permitted to drive into airports yet due to heightened security. I was one of the only people in the airport aside from the employees, and shared the plane with just a handful of other people. If you have ever flown into or out of LAX airport, you're probably familiar with how busy it is and can imagine how eerie it was to be there when it was nearly abandoned.
It was empty?
Yeah. Makes sense.
Oh my God. Well, the amount of times we've flown out of there like that gave me chills.
It's a massive airport.
Just to hear nothing.
Right. So when I arrived to my destination, it was similarly empty, and I again had to hire a car to transport me due to private vehicles not being permitted to enter airports yet. I got a taxi and gave them the address for my aunt's house. It was a very stereotypical yellow cab, and the driver was a Caucasian male with a larger, husky build. Nothing more remarkable stood out, and I was in the back seat behind him. This was at a time before smartphones, but I did have an old-school Motorola cell phone and attempted to send a text to my brother to let him know that the plane had landed. At the time, I hadn't become concerned about the situation at all, so I didn't pay much attention to whether or not my text had gone through. As it turns out, my aunt lived in a house near the river in an area that had very spotty cell phone reception at the time. Up to this point, nothing was particularly alarming, outside of the fact that I had gotten onto one of the first flights to leave an airport after a major terrorist attack involving hijacked airplanes.
Right, no big deal.
It was getting to be later in the evening and had become a little dusky outside. The cab driver turned down a road that was paved differently than the road we had been traveling on, and I suddenly became very aware of the change and felt that something was off. I can't exactly say what about it got my attention, but somehow it was clear that we had turned into a side road or a parking lot, and my spidey senses were tingling. I looked up to see that we were approaching what looked like a roadside bar. I looked at the sign and realized that it was a strip club. I had not been to my aunt's house before, but I clearly knew this was not, in fact, the destination I had requested to be driven to. As quickly as the situation became startling, when we turned toward the strip club, it got even scarier. There was a man standing outside of the building. He was another large Caucasian man, looking very similar to the taxi driver, and he was looking down at a cell phone that he was holding. When he saw the taxi approaching, he turned toward the car as if he was anticipating our arrival. This immediately eliminated any possibility that he might be someone I could alert if I was in danger. It was in this moment that I became acutely aware that I, an attractive young female traveling solo and very clearly not familiar with the area, was probably in danger. I would like to take a moment to acknowledge that my situational awareness was not what it should have been, as I had just turned 21 and was still very much a naive young person. But in the moments when the cab I was riding in was approaching this man, who appeared to be waiting outside for me in front of an adult entertainment business that I didn't request to go to in a secluded area that I wasn't able to easily flee from, I knew I was in big trouble. As we pulled up next to the man, the overhead dome light in the taxi suddenly turned on. The cab driver, who I realized had clearly been communicating with the man via text, was lighting up the interior of the car so the man could get a better look at me. As if on cue, the man walked up to the passenger side of the car and leaned down to look at me through the window. He paused for a few seconds, which felt like forever. My fight or flight instinct was in overdrive, and at that moment I was stuck on freeze, as he stood there looking at me. Finally, he stepped back, looked at the taxi driver, and shook his head no. The taxi driver nodded and slowly started to drive away, turning off the overhead light and proceeding as if nothing had happened. I was stunned. I didn't know exactly what had just happened, but I knew it was bad, and I had just gotten unbelievably lucky. My freeze seemed to come unfrozen, and I frantically started texting my brother and trying to see any type of landmark outside of the car that I could navigate by. We were driving in total silence. It was a super tense situation, like I knew he was up to something, and he knew I knew, and we both just sat there in a crazy, intense standoff while he drove. I didn't call my brother, as I was afraid of what the driver's reaction would be if I verbally explained out loud what was going on. I continued texting my brother, and we continued driving in total silence. By some miracle, my text to my brother went through, and he replied back. I texted that the driver was shady and I was scared, and before I knew it, we were pulling onto another road, and I saw my brother waiting for me. As soon as he found out that his little sister was in a sticky situation, he had hopped on his motorcycle and headed to the main road to come and find us. As large and imposing as the driver was when I was by myself in the back of his cab, my brother was much more intimidating, and I was able to get out of the cab and get my suitcase without further incident. It turns out we weren't much further than the end of my aunt's long rural driveway by the time my brother had spotted us, as we were the only bright yellow taxi out on the road at the time. I was able to walk with my luggage up to her home while he stayed and waited for the cab to drive away. At the time, I hadn't heard of human trafficking. I knew something was terribly wrong, but I wasn't exactly sure what to call it. I never mentioned the situation to my dad, because as intimidating as my brother was, my dad was really the scary one. Sweet as pie, but if you threatened him or his family, you would meet the real biker outlaw that he was. I also didn't make any attempt to notify authorities about the incident. As I mentioned, I was so young and naive, and it didn't feel right to cause further problems to report to police or to angry, overprotective fathers. Something that you couldn't quite verbalize and wasn't really a crime. If anything like this happened to me today, I would not hesitate for a moment to cause as much of a fuss as possible and call all of the attention to what the cab driver and the strip club guy had going on. I've also struggled with the guilt of knowing that something horrible was possibly happening, and I didn't do whatever I could to prevent other women from getting injured or abducted. But maybe sending this story to you guys now can be a little bit of amends for that. Please reiterate to your listeners that if it feels off, it's better to overreact and be wrong and possibly embarrassed than it is to be silent and in danger. As I said, the real creepiness of this story for me is from the not knowing. What was going on in that adult entertainment establishment? What were their intentions for me, and why had the men at the strip club seemingly changed his mind? How many other women were victims of whatever was happening? The situation was scary, and something I have never forgotten or completely put behind me. But the questions of what was really going on, and how close I was to possibly being a victim of something very sinister, is truly more terrifying. To the taxi driver, the mysterious strip club man, and anyone else involved, let's not meet. Sincerely, Cammy.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Did they write in, or is this a copy from a Reddit post?
No, this is from our email inbox. She said in the beginning she was kind of inspired by our Let's Not Meet episodes, but this is her story, and this is one of our listeners for sure.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't know how you deal with what happened. I mean, they were clearly trying to abduct girls.
Yeah. The fact that the taxi just silently drove up to a man standing outside of a strip club, he walked up, bent down, looked at her for a few seconds, and then stood back up and shook his head no. And then he just drove away in silence. Ugh. It is terrifying.
Yeah, the not knowing is maybe the worst part.
Yeah. Yeah, and in the beginning, she was like, oh, nothing really happened. And like, I guess that's not an incorrect feeling because nothing did happen as far as like...
Well, it depends on how you look at
that's
it.
That's my... Yeah, I guess my point is like something definitely happened. And that at is the end of terrifying.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you were in a position to be abducted.
Right.
And they decided not to. Why? Nobody knows.
Right.
But you were clearly in danger. Oh my God. I'm glad that they said no, but wow. That's tough. That's really tough to process.
I'm also glad that your brother found you on the road. It seems like he drove his motorcycle out, like kind of pulled this taxi over almost. I don't know if that's actually what happened or if the taxi just pulled up to the aunt's driveway and he was waiting there with his motorcycle. I think probably that, but still. She was like, yeah, we were the only yellow taxi on the road. And the fact that 9/11 is just like the background of this story is also insane. Like that also makes it so much easier, I think, to take advantage of a vulnerable person because there's not really many people around. And
there's a huge distraction.
A humongous distraction. And also, her brother was able to spot this taxi, you know, on a positive note, because there were no other taxis on the road. You know what I'm saying? Like, this probably wouldn't have been the case if it were just normal functioning life. But because nobody was traveling, there was only one taxi on the road and it was her. It's crazy when you think about like the whole shitstorm that unraveled to get to that point.
Yeah.
It is so scary what happened. And I'm so glad that whatever they decided was a no, but holy shit, something definitely happened.
Yeah. I don't know. It's almost as if somebody like pointed a gun at you and then didn't shoot.
Right.
You know?
Definitely.
Like, yeah, nothing happened.
Right. But you could see your life flashing before your eyes and you felt the danger.
Yeah. Yeah, let's not meet. My God.
For real. We're very glad that you're all good and also glad that your brother and dad are a little bit scary if need be. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
sounds like dad might have gone shot up the joint.
Could have happened. Maybe. Never met him. Sounds like a protective guy.
The dad you want.
Yeah, in this situation for sure. But thank you, Cammie, for sending in your story. Why don't we move on to our next one? This next story is from Lynn, and they use they-them pronouns. Hey guys, I've been listening for a few months now and actually managed to binge through the entirety of your backlog in like a week. Holy shit, Lynn,
that is impressive.
Thank you.
How many episodes is that now?
We're almost at 300.
They did 300 episodes in a week?
Almost.
That's insane.
Probably closer to like two something when they were listening.
Okay,
but,
maybe.
But yeah.
That's like nonstop.
We love it. They said, I tend to play podcasts throughout most of my day when I'm making art, driving, cleaning, etc. I'm very picky with podcasts, but yours got me hooked. Thank you so much for making great content. Thank you, Lynn. That's really nice.
Thank you. That's really flattering.
Okay, so they said, recently you asked delivery drivers to reach out about creepy stories, and oh boy, I got one for you. I do Uber delivery stuff to make ends meet between art and market events that I take part in. If I'm delivering at night, my girlfriend usually comes with me as an extra safety measure. I live right outside a major city, so am frequently traveling through there when delivering, and it can get pretty sketchy. She's pretty tough and makes me feel very safe, but this particular night, she unfortunately had fallen asleep. I wasn't planning on being out too much longer, so I was just gonna let her sleep. I was coming back from a delivery, and between me and my car, there was a man standing on the edge of the street, facing the opposite side of the road. He swayed forward and back like he was psyching himself up, did a mad dash into the middle of the road, only to stop halfway across. Then he went back to where he had been standing before and repeated this. I think it's safe to say he wasn't sober. There are plenty of people facing addiction in this city. I've seen people high out of their minds and walked past them without a twinge of worry. But this guy? I hadn't even seen his face, nor had he noticed me, but my body started screaming that I was in danger. I knew I needed to get to my car door, but I didn't want to draw attention. No running, as much as I wanted to. I power walked, and right as I passed behind him, he unfortunately noticed me. I think he had just had one of his little running sessions into the middle of the road, so there was at least a little distance. I knew he was following me before I looked back, and when I did, it was only the barest of glances. I was worried that if he knew I knew what he was doing, that it would take a turn from following to chasing. I walked a little faster and blindly found the button to unlock my car on my keys. Once I reached the door, I let myself move quickly, pulling it open just enough to jump inside and the momentum to pull my door shut. My finger hit the lock button the millisecond before he grabbed the fucking handle and tried to open the door. When he couldn't get it open, he started banging his hands against the window. I remember getting a glimpse of him smiling here. It should be noted that my girlfriend is a very heavy sleeper and she did not stir in the slightest.
Oh my God.
I wish I remembered there was a literal pepper spray in my car, but my only worry was getting out of there. I didn't even try to wake my partner up. I started the car and turned my wheel sharply as I raced out of my parallel parking spot. I don't know if I managed because I didn't look back, but I'm really hoping I ran over his toes. I don't know what he was planning to do to me, but I know in my gut it would have been violent. I now make enough with my art stuff that I don't have to do deliveries as much and can be much choosier about when I want to go out and deliver. Still, I carry a pepper spray gun with me now. I appreciate you taking the time to read. Stay safe out there. Listen to your instincts.
Oh my God.
That is also so scary.
It's so unnerving to see somebody just like out of their mind tweaking, running between the middle of the street and the sidewalk.
Yeah. Just like swaying and then bolting and then coming back and swaying and bolting.
Yeah, because it's like at that point, there's not even a person there, you know? It's just reaction.
Yeah, they're completely out of their minds and you don't know what they're capable of. But it's also like they were like, I've walked past people who have been high before. This is not like that. Like this was very obviously a dangerous person. You know, like you feel it in your gut.
Yeah, and then he tries to open the door.
Yeah.
Right after you hit the lock.
Right. And smiling and banging his hands on the window. Also,
smiling,
lest we forget
the worst part.
What is with the smiling? What is with creepy men and doing stuff scary and smiling at the same time? Just trying to be scary? Like, yes, but I would love if they would cut that shit out. Cut that shit out.
The whole time, your girlfriend doesn't even stir.
Yeah, just peacefully snoring as if nothing has just happened. And your like heart is pounding out of your chest.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm glad nothing happened. And I'm glad that you're both safe and... Also awesome that your art is doing well and you can, you know, not do deliveries as often.
Yeah, congrats. Was this at night?
Yeah, this was like late because they were like, oh yeah, I wasn't going to do much more anyway. Like this might have been their last delivery or something.
God, that sucks.
Yeah. God. Men really be doing creepy shit out there sometimes. Like that is so scary.
I mean, sounds like this dude was an addict and tweaking.
Maybe. I mean, we don't know, right? Maybe he was drunk. Maybe he was just unwell in the head. Who knows? Yeah. But
combination of all.
Could have been. Because they were saying like, oh yeah, they were swaying, which kind of feels like a drunk thing to me.
Maybe.
But it could have been a concoction. Who really knows? Either way, we're glad you're okay and happy for your girlfriend for having such heavy sleeping abilities. How peaceful that sounds.
I know. Couldn't be me.
Thank you, Lynn, for sending in your story. And for listening to our episodes in the span of a week. That's crazy.
That's impressive.
All right, let's move on to our next story. This one is from Emma. Hi, Steph and Alex. I'm a huge fan of your show. And Steph, so excited you started doing a YouTube channel. Loving it so far. Hell yeah. Thanks, Emma. My story is a little bit self-inflicted. I'll admit that, but scary still. I was working at a summer camp, and our first session was about to start the next day. A few of the other counselors and I decided we would go to the city nearby and go out to the bars for a bit to celebrate our last night of freedom. Afterwards, I, a girl, another female counselor, and two male counselors were going to go camping at a local lake. We had our tent and supplies ready. The plan was to spend the night, drive back in the morning, and prepare for our first session, which started at 11 a.m. The bars went well, only a couple creepy guys, and we left to go camping. The other girl was driving, and she realized she wasn't feeling good and didn't want to camp out. She dropped me and the two guys off at the site and left. Now, not only did we not have service at our site, but our summer camp also had shitty service. This is super important to remember. The evening started out fine. We had some snacks and got settled into the tent the three of us were sharing. Things were going smoothly, but that was about to change. What we hadn't realized was there was a storm on the way. We are in the Midwest, and storms during the summer get rough. It started to rain on us, and then it rained some more, and even more. After only 20 minutes, the tent was lifting off of the ground because the area was starting to flood. All we had were the clothes we were wearing, the tent, and our phones. We decided to sacrifice the tent and shelter in one of those campground bathrooms with just a seat and a hole in it, no sink, of course. That kept the rain off our heads, but not the floor. Soon, the ground was covered by about 2 feet of dirty bathroom water. We called the other girl, but of course the call didn't go through. Our phones were about to die, and we had no way of leaving. Also, an important note, the spot that we chose was on the other side of a bridge going past a stream that fed into the lake. In order to leave, we would have to cross that bridge again. Occasionally, we would check outside to see the state of things, and the water just kept rising. One time, though, we looked out and there was a car facing the door with its headlights on. We ran out and tried to get his attention to get help, and he just stared at us. Unnerved, we went in. I definitely thought he was going to kill us, and that caused a panic attack for sure. Quick recap now. Stranded in a flooding bathroom, no service, phones about to die, creepy man watching us from his car. Eventually, he parked on the side of the bathroom, which didn't make us feel any better. I vividly remember the guy singing camp songs at me and me yelling for them to shut the hell up. I already hate... Yeah, not helping, guys. Hey, so not helping.
Wait, so creepy guy is singing?
No. Her friends. She's with two other guys.
I'm trying to compute. So they're all four still there in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Okay. In 2 feet of water?
Yeah. With it rising, by the way.
Cool.
Yeah. Really good.
What the fuck?
Really good stuff.
How is the car not flooded? Or is the bathroom just lower than the rest of the ground?
Yeah, maybe. I don't really know, but this guy is just like in a car outside of the bathroom in the middle of the night in a storm. And like they came outside and were like, hey, and he just stared.
He's by himself?
At least he's not smiling, right?
I guess.
Because that makes it worse, as we know. Yeah. As we've established. I already hate storms. We decided to try to call 911, but still no service. Eventually, I got an SOS bar and was able to send a text. I was told that a cop would be on the way to check everything out. He showed up, checked on the guy, came back and said, so he's not dangerous, but he's super weird. I don't blame you guys for being scared.
How did we come to that assessment?
Yeah, also, how do you know he's not dangerous? How do you know?
He's super weird, and he hasn't killed anyone yet.
Yeah, super weird, guys. Don't blame me for being scared of him.
Like, I don't know, maybe... I don't know what he said to him.
Yeah, unclear, but they sat in his car for about 2 hours, meaning the cop, watching the water rise. The sun started to rise, and it was then that we realized just how trapped we were. By this point, all our phones were dead, with no one to contact anyway. By the time the rain stopped, it looked like we were in a completely different place. The bridge, which had once been 4 feet above the water, was covered. Walking over the bridge, the water was up to our knees or higher. The cop's sedan had no way of getting over it, so he called a cop with a truck. This took another hour or so, and by the time he arrived to take us across the bridge, it was 8:30 a.m., with our campers arriving in 2.5 hours. We got across and got transferred to another car, which drove us to camp. We had the highly unfortunate luck of getting dropped off at the office at the exact moment our two camp directors left the building. They gave us rides to our cabins in silence. I showered, took a 20-minute power nap, and picked up my campers. To this day, I can't remember a time that I was more scared and exhausted. The other girl felt so bad. I can't blame her for wanting to sleep, though. Oh, there were other people stuck out there, too. There was a car at the end of the road that was halfway underwater. The owner was asleep through it all. No clue how he pulled that one off. A few weeks later...
Wait. Half his car was underwater?
Yeah, and he's
just snoring away?
Is this Lynn's girlfriend?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey. How did this happen?
This sounds familiar. A few weeks later, we found an article in the news about us that was kind of funny. Well, that's it. Self-inflicted by being out there alone with no vehicle. But oh well, college students do dumb things. Hope you all enjoyed. Emma.
I mean, other people go camping, you know? You just got shit luck.
That's true. Yeah, really bad luck. It's also ridiculous to me that not only were they stranded in a storm with flood water rising, right? That's dangerous enough. But then on top of it, it's like, oh, and by the way, there was a man sitting outside of the bathroom that we were hiding in, staring at us and being extremely creepy. Like, why'd they have to get both?
I don't know.
That is so messed up. Like,
what are the chances?
Right?
Also, like, I don't know. I feel like this happens sometimes with socially awkward people where they just freeze up because they don't know what to say, but it just comes off creepy and weird.
You mean potentially the man was just socially awkward and didn't...
I mean, maybe it was a component. I don't know.
Maybe.
The cop was like, I don't think he's dangerous. He's just a weird dude.
Yeah, maybe. I hope, right?
I don't know. Like... Also, like, you're out there. Imagine you're by yourself out there stuck in a storm, and then you see four people that you don't know coming towards your car kind of frantically.
Yeah, I can see that would be scary.
Maybe he just froze up.
Maybe.
You know, he's like, holy shit, yeah. They're going to murder me.
Right, like best case scenario, he's just a weird, socially awkward guy who like got freaked out and didn't want to sit in a car with people he didn't know for, you know, the night.
Like, yeah, but I mean, if you just would have stuck your head out the window and be like, hey, this blows, huh? You know? would have broken the ice and maybe you'd be fine.
Yeah, I hope that was the case, but also maybe. Could have been a weird, dangerous person. We don't really know. But either way, I'm really glad that you and your friends are okay and that it was just a scary night, but it all turned out fine. It is also crazy that you had to then turn around 2 hours later and go be a camp counselor. Like,
yeah, I can't imagine.
I can't imagine the exhaustion and just like...
Delirious.
Yeah, delirium.
Here, what did they do at camp? Like, we're going to go swimming.
Yeah,
now.
Let's go kayaking. Everyone grab your canoe paddles. Oh my God.
We start singing.
Yeah.
What a time.
Well, anyway, thank you, Emma, for sending in your story. Why don't we move on to our next one?
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hi, my name is Angela. This happened on New Year's Eve, going back to New Year's Day of 2019, back when I was driving for Uber in Sacramento, California. We've got another Uber story, which I'm loving, by the way. My husband and I often drove on holidays because we figured if everyone else wanted to celebrate, we might as well make a little extra money helping people get home safely. By about 3 a.m., I had already turned my Uber app off and was heading home. I was exhausted after a long night of driving. As I turned onto my street in South Sacramento, I noticed two young women stumbling down the sidewalk. They couldn't have been more than 19 or 20 years old, making them under California's legal drinking age. One had already fallen, and just as I drove past, the other one fell too. I remember thinking, they're probably okay. Someone else will help them. So I kept driving. Then that little voice in the back of my head spoke up. Whether you call it your conscience, intuition, or a guardian angel, it said one thing: turn around. The feeling was so strong that another thought immediately crossed my mind. If you don't turn around, you're going to see these girls on the news tomorrow. I still can't explain why I thought that. I just knew I couldn't ignore it. So I turned my car around. When I pulled up beside them, they were scraped up, covered in dirt, bleeding from their hands and knees, and so intoxicated they could barely stand. I helped them into my car and asked where they needed to go. One of the girls told me they had already ordered an Uber to take them to Roseville, about 40 minutes away. When I looked at her phone, I realized their driver had canceled the ride. I asked if they wanted me to order another Uber or if they wanted me to take them home myself. She looked at me and quietly said, "Please, can you just take us home?" So I did. About 10 minutes into the drive, both girls fell asleep. When we arrived, I pulled up in front of the house. Almost immediately, the garage light came on, the door opened, and a man and woman hurried down the driveway toward my car. The father came to my window and asked something like, "How did you find them? Were you already their Uber driver?" I explained that I wasn't. I had already ended my night, turned my app off, and was simply heading home when I saw them. I told him I lived nearby, and something told me I needed to stop and help. As we were talking, one of the girls opened the car door and nearly fell out. Her mom rushed over to help both girls out of the car, while her dad stood there talking with me. He explained that both girls' phones had died. They had been tracking them using Find My app, but once the phones lost power, they had no idea where their daughters were anymore. Then he asked me if Uber had paid me for bringing them home. I told him no. Since I had already turned my app off, this wasn't an Uber trip. I had simply driven them home because it felt like the right thing to do. He disappeared into the house for a moment and came back carrying $150 in cash. He handed it to me and said something I'll never forget. "I don't know who put you in my daughter's path tonight, but thank you. God only knows what would have happened if someone else had found them." I drove home that morning thinking about how close I had come to simply driving past them. Maybe they would have been okay. Maybe another kind person would have stopped. Or maybe not. I'll never know. What I do know is that for some reason, on that night, I listened to my instincts. And every time I think back on that night, I wonder if turning my car around changed someone else's life. Thank you for taking time to read my story. I actually have quite a few memorable stories from my years driving Uber, from funny to creepy to genuinely heartwarming. If you ever do a rideshare-themed episode, I'd be happy to send more your way. Thank you for doing everything you do, Angela. Yeah, Angela, definitely send us your Uber stories.
Yeah, we cannot get enough ever.
This is great.
Because this one is great because I feel like everyone relates to this type of moment.
Yeah.
Where you see something and then you're like, what do I do?
Right.
You know what the right thing to do is, but it's easier to just keep going.
Right. And think, oh, they'll be fine.
Not my problem.
Not my problem. Yeah. But
I mean, whatever you tell yourself, but yeah. I mean, it takes some conviction to turn around, but then it also takes a lot of conviction to drive them 40 minutes out of your way.
Yeah.
For nothing.
Right. But it's like you're not going to leave them on the side of the road. Like, these are two young girls who are underage.
Right. I mean, what if this was your sister, your daughter?
Yeah. And other people would absolutely take advantage of the situation and do terrible things. So, yeah, if you are able to take them home and a good person like Angela is.
Yeah. I mean, you do the right thing. It's so admirable.
Yeah, it is.
And karma comes around. And also, it comes in the form of $150 sometimes.
Yeah, that's a good start. That is a good start. But there's definitely some good juju also floating up there.
There or has something. To be.
I don't know.
See, I love these types of stories because it's just like the best of humanity. Because we always hear about, like, I mean, not always, but whenever it's a crime, it's like the worst of
totally.
People, you know. But this is how people are too, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
They, after they're exhausted after a shift, drive two complete strangers 40 minutes away to make sure they're safe.
Yeah.
Like, that's super cool.
It's amazing. It's also even more scary of a situation when you see that, like, they fall asleep in the back of your car immediately after. You're like, yeah, I'll drive you home.
Yeah, like, what if they passed out on the side of the road?
On the side of the road, or if someone else picked them up and they passed out in that car. Like, they could have been anywhere. By the time they woke up.
Yeah.
It's a terrifying thought, but luckily we don't have to really go down that road because you drove them home, and that's amazing.
Yeah, I love this story.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Angela, for writing in, and definitely send us more Uber stories if you have them, because it sounds like you do. So whatever you want to share, we'll listen to. Why don't we move on to the next? This is from Tess. I've been debating whether to share this for a while, but I needed some time to process what actually happened. This took place only a couple of months ago, and honestly, it still haunts me from time to time. For context, I'm Dutch, so English isn't my first language, but I'll do my best to explain everything clearly. I work as a train conductor on the Dutch railways. That basically means I'm responsible for passenger safety, checking tickets, handling disturbances, everything that happens on board. I've been doing this job for almost 6 years now, mostly night shifts, and I love it. There's never a dull moment. And trust me, I've seen things. Funny stuff, weird stuff, downright bizarre situations. But every now and then, something happens that genuinely feels like nightmare fuel. This is one of those. During night shifts, roughly between 1 a.m. and 6 a.m., we sometimes do what's called an entry check. Basically, we only open one door of the train, and every passenger has to show their ticket before getting on. It helps keep out trouble, drunk people, pickpockets, or anyone with bad intentions. It's not fully asshole-proof, but it definitely makes a difference. This happened on Saturday night last winter around 2:15 a.m. at Nijmegen Central Station. I really hope I said that right. Keep in
Nijmegen.
Mind, this is Dutch. My colleague and I were doing an entry check before departure. It was fairly busy, but everything went smoothly. People were cooperative, in a good mood, nothing unusual. We even had time for a bit of small talk with some passengers. The small talk ended up mattering more than I realized at the time. About 10 minutes into the ride, we reached our first stop, a larger station with staff and security. Everything was still normal. We arrived at the second stop. This station had no staff. It's in a pretty isolated, wooded area. I like coming there at night because you can smell the pine trees nearby, but it is not a place you'd want to be alone at 3 a.m., unless someone is picking you up or you have a car parked nearby. As people started getting off, I noticed a middle-aged man carrying a young woman in his arms, heading for the exit of the train. At first glance, it didn't seem that strange. It's a night train. People get drunk or they fall asleep. It happens. But something felt off. I couldn't fully explain it at that moment, but my gut reaction was immediate. The hairs on my neck stood up. Before I even really thought about it, I walked up to him and asked what he was doing. He said he was taking his friend home. The girl, his quote-unquote friend, was completely unresponsive, just limp in his arms like a child. She looked very young, way younger than him, And that's when every alarm bell in my body went off. What business would this expired-looking man have with a barely adult woman? Without really thinking, I stepped in front of the door and told him to put her down. He insisted everything was fine, said he was just helping her. Now, technically, I'm not allowed to touch passengers, but I ignored that and supported her head with my arm, telling him again, more firmly, to let her go. He didn't. Instead, he tried to push past me. That's when I snapped and shouted face to face, "Let her the fuck go," the vein on my forehead calling to arms. My colleague was behind me at this point, backing me up, and I had already made up my mind. There was no way this creep was getting off the train with her. The situation escalated quickly. It turned into a physical struggle. Not full-on fighting, but enough that it made quite a commotion. And then suddenly, the girl woke up. She looked straight at me, and I recognized her. Earlier, during the entry check, I had spoken to her and her friend. They told me they were heading to Utrecht, which is about 35 minutes further down the line, so they definitely weren't supposed to get off here. She seemed confused at first, like she half recognized me, but didn't understand what was going on. Then she realized she was being carried by someone she didn't know. The moment she looked at him, her face changed completely. Pure panic. She started screaming and kicking and yelling, "Let me go! Let me go!" He finally dropped her. I told my colleague to get him off the train immediately, partly because he needed to be removed, and partly because I was about 2 seconds away from ripping his depraved face off. My rage was as palpable as my blood pressure at this point. My colleague forced him out, and we locked the doors behind him. And so we left. He stayed behind with a look of anger and disappointment. I stayed with the girl and asked her if she knew him. She said no. She had never seen him before. He was a complete stranger. She didn't remember anything after getting on the train, just that she had been there with her friend, which I also remembered. She had been with someone, another young woman. And that's when it got even more disturbing. During the entry check, I had briefly spoken to the man. He had been on the platform before the girls arrived, but he didn't board right away. He waited until they got on and found seats. At the time, I thought it was a bit odd. Now it made perfect sense. After we left that station, we found the girl's friend. She was also unresponsive at first. That's when it really hit us. They had most likely both been drugged. And this creep had followed them, waited, and then tried to take one of them off the train at an isolated stop in the middle of the night. Like it was nothing. The sheer audacity. Such darkness. Ready to wander into the woods with whatever deranged plans he had in mind. Definitely not to contemplate the meaning of life with a nice cup of tea, I imagine. I still feel sick thinking about it. Because you can't help but wonder what would have happened if we hadn't noticed. If I had ignored that gut feeling for even a second. It all happened so fast. Thankfully, both girls were okay physically. Confused, scared, but safe. What frustrates me the most is that they didn't want to report it. They had no memory of what happened and just wanted to go home. I tried to convince them, but they refused. I did call emergency services myself, but since I wasn't the victim, there wasn't much they could do. And that's it. That monster just walked away. His face burned into my memory forever. The smell of pine trees now triggering feelings of anger. Part of me almost hopes I'll run into him someday. The more sane part of me does not. I'm usually a very peaceful girly, don't worry. That unresolved what-if feeling sticks with you. If anything, it made me trust my instincts a lot more. Because sometimes you only get a split second to realize something is very, very wrong. Thank you for reading. Love your podcast. Kind regards, Tess.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Yeah, I feel like this would have been an easy one to let go.
A very easy one. Yep.
Because it does happen.
Yeah, you don't think that people will have the absolute horrific audacity to carry someone, a complete stranger, that they've drugged off of the train. But again, with a gut instinct, like you feel that drop in your stomach and you can sense like the danger or the evil or something. And they were right.
Yeah, it's like Cammy mentioned, like it's better to overreact and then be embarrassed rather than to just let it go.
Yeah, because this girl was completely unresponsive, you know? Like,
that's so scary. What drug does that?
They don't know.
That was quick, right?
It
seems... That was like 30 minutes?
Yeah, it seems like it was quick. But I mean, drugs like that work pretty quickly. Whether it was like roofies or whatever, you don't know. But both of them had been drugged, were both passed out. And he just left the other girl on the train, was carrying one off. It is so
disgusting.
Disturbing and disgusting. Yeah. But again, thank you for your service. Like, just like the last story, like both very good people saving people's lives, like for real.
Yeah.
This is the one that I was like, holy shit. Because you really never, ever would expect that to be what's actually happening. Like, even if you have that like twinge of a thought, you know, you're not like the odds of that actually being what it is, I feel like so low. I don't know. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But like,
I probably would have assumed like, oh, it's her dad.
Right. Or something like the confidence that this person has to have literally carrying this girl off of a public train into the darkness is immense. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's almost like maybe they just assume nobody's going to think this.
Right.
I mean, you have to. Like, this doesn't happen here.
Right, yeah.
Nobody's going to catch it.
Yeah, and also some people just have, like, disgusting vibes, and this man, I guess, did.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And then the other part is, like, they felt embarrassed and didn't want to report it.
Yeah, or didn't want to deal with it.
Ugh, that's the other frustrating part. It's like, that guy's out there.
Right. It's also frustrating that Angela called emergency services, but because she wasn't the victim in this situation, or, you know, the drugged girls, they wouldn't do anything. That's also very scary. You know, it's like I'm the one who encountered this and I saved these girls from being abducted.
Right. I'm the key witness.
Yeah. And this man is out there still doing awful things. You have to assume to be that bold to do something like that. Like, he's doing other terrible things.
Yeah.
It's a very scary thought, but it's not one that you have to kind of like let it go. I don't know. There's so many scary people out there. So it's not like you did anything wrong, of course. Like, you did everything right. Like, you did literally everything right. It's just like the system is unfortunately not flexible enough to let there be an investigation. I don't even know what to say. Like,
yeah. I mean, they should at least like have a report on it.
Right.
But that's the other thing, is he walks away. And if the victims don't get drug tested, don't file a report, there's like not much evidence other than her report.
I guess that's true.
About what happened. And like, oh, what does he look like? Right. Everyone got a glimpse of him.
Yeah.
We could draw him up, but you know.
Right. There's no physical evidence.
Yeah, not really. Unless they have cameras on the train.
If they had cameras, that would be different.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a tough situation.
I just hope that man is gone. I don't know.
Yeah, or that he got scared enough he's not doing this shit anymore.
Maybe. That's all we can really hope for. But either way, good work on your part. And thank you for literally saving a girl's life, because that's what you did. I'm just now realizing that I may have referred to you as Angela because the story before this was Angela. This is from Tess. Thank you, Tess, for sending in your story.
Sorry, Tess. Also, the preamble at the beginning was like, oh, I'm Dutch. This might be weird. Would not have been able to tell.
Incredible writing, by the way. Like, really good writing.
Even use like the slang. What did she say in the beginning? It was like, did she say like sicko mode or something?
No.
Can you go back? This is going to bug me. Yeah, nightmare fuel.
Oh, no.
I was like,
sure.
That's definitely like internet slang.
Definitely.
So.
I mean, she's Dutch. She's not an alien.
I know. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I think it's like a sign of how well you can...
speak
the language if you use the slang, right?
Definitely. Yeah, very great writing and good story, even though it was, you know, a terrifying situation that you really lived through. But again, thank you for your story. Let's move on to our final story of this episode. This is going to be our spooky closer, because as summer is coming to a close, thus brings my favorite part of the year, which is spooky season. And so I thought, wouldn't it be fun to include a ghost story?
Oh. And when does spooky season start for you?
I mean, September, right?
September 1st.
Like, pretty much.
That's fair.
Like, I'm going to be decorating for Halloween pretty much as soon as September hits, which is next weekend, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, for us, when we're recording, at least.
Well, we already have a full-size skeleton, so.
Yeah, uh-huh. And I will be putting her out. So our final story is from Isabel. Hi, Steph and Alex. My name is Isabel. I'm from Montreal, Quebec, and I've been a longtime listener and really love your podcast. I just wanted to say thank you for keeping me company during my drives to and from work, the very same place I'm about to tell you about today. Because the daycare I work at is for sure absolutely haunted. Like, I genuinely wish I was kidding.
Okay, word.
Me, like, maniacally laughing. Like, yes.
How fun to work there.
Yeah, that sucks for you. Sorry. This daycare has been open since 1998. Since I started...
That's not that old.
Yeah, it's, like, really young.
That's, like, really not that
That's
old.
That's, like, super young. And...
That's below 30.
No, literally. Like, by the way, youngest daycare ever to exist.
Yeah. When's your birthday?
Literally, mind your business.
What year? I don't know. Okay. No,
shut up. Since I started working here, there are moments where it feels like you're not alone when you definitely should be. And when I talked about it to my coworkers who have been there since the opening, they all say this place is for sure haunted and that a lot of things have happened to them too. One of them, who we'll call Caroline, refuses to go into the basement when she closes or opens the daycare. I've been working at this daycare for about 6 years now. I'm an early childhood educator, and I absolutely love my job. It's truly my dream job. I work in the baby room, which is my favorite. And of course, that's where everything started happening for me. I've had a lot of little things happen over the years, and one in particular almost made me quit last year. It terrified me to my core. This particular incident happened during nap time in the baby room. That day, all the babies were there. We usually have 10 babies for 2 educators. And yes, ask me if I'm in shape. I can imagine. With 10 babies you gotta wrangle? Damn.
Really big, huge arms.
Yeah, the gun show is happening.
It's just like chest pressing babies all day.
Pretty much. We also have another educator who comes in around 12 to help with lunch cleanup, diaper changes, and getting the babies down for their naps. It also makes sure that if one of us is on break, there are still always 2 educators in the room. That person actually turns out to be my work bestie and outside of work best friend, so let's call her Lily for privacy reasons. So it was around 1:30 p.m., nap time is from 12:30 to 3, and at that point, all the babies were completely asleep. We have 2 sleep rooms, both connected to the classroom, 5 babies in each room. There's also a camera system that shows both rooms on a medium-sized TV in the classroom so we can check on them without going in and risking waking them up. And honestly, after it took 25 minutes to get them all to sleep, I am not going in there unless I absolutely have to. So back to the story. Lily and I were sitting down doing our thing and chatting when we suddenly heard one of the babies crying from one of the rooms. For privacy reasons, let's call this baby Theo. Just to be clear, I know these babies' voices by heart. I could have my eyes closed and tell you exactly who is babbling or crying. This is important. I absolutely knew it was Theo. We hear Theo sobbing, the kind of sob that makes you think maybe he's in pain. We look at the camera and we see him standing up in his crib, not lying down, not sitting, just standing there sobbing. Lily and I are confused because he was exhausted at lunch, completely done. Lily runs in right away because the crying is loud and we don't want him to wake up the other babies. And also because I'm basically lying on the floor like a whale and don't want to get up. So she goes in and comes back out within seconds, completely white like a milk carton. She looks at me and says, "Theo's snoring. No one is awake. What the actual fuck just happened?" And keep in mind, from the moment we saw him crying to the moment she walked in there, it was maybe 4 or 5 seconds. There is no way he went from that level of crying to completely asleep and snoring in that time. I looked back at the camera, just trying to convince myself I had misunderstood what I saw. Like, maybe I blinked, maybe the angle was weird, but my stomach just dropped. Like, I'm telling you, my pants were full of poop. Wait, this is why her pants are full of poop. Theo, who doesn't even walk yet, cannot stand on his own, and has never attempted to climb out of his crib, was outside of his crib. Just standing there, completely still, staring at the wall.
What the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck? So it's not like it just goes back to normal. The nightmare continues on the video?
The nightmare continues.
Well, now she's got to go look for herself, right?
Right. So.
Oh my God. What the fuck,
right,
dude?
Right. So baby Theo standing there completely still staring at the wall. I immediately ran into the room. And the moment I opened the door, everything just snapped back to normal. He was back in his crib, fast asleep, snoring with his mouth open like nothing had happened.
Okay. And back to the video.
He had just been standing outside of it seconds before. I just froze. I honestly didn't know what to do. Lily came in right after me, and we just looked at each other. We both saw it, and we both knew it didn't make sense, but neither of us had an explanation. We ended up not telling anyone about it, not even Theo's parents, because physically he was fine, and there was no sign of anything that had happened. But I still can't shake it. I don't know what it was, but it genuinely terrified me. Because I keep going back to that moment on the camera, and I still can't explain what I saw.
Is it recorded?
I don't know. I don't think so. It seems like it was just a live feed. I'm a great educator, but in situations like this, I'm really just like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm done here. Thank you so much for listening and telling my story. Just keep breathing. Yeah, Isabel. Holy shit. The way my pants would be full of poop. Oh my God.
Yeah, I think I'd just go past that and I'd just like pass out, away from this life.
It's also very funny to me that they didn't tell Theo's parents, which like, granted, just a normal, like the baby's fine. The baby has been mid-nap the whole time. There's just something going on with like, I don't know, a ghost, the monitor, who the really video. Knows? But it's also funny to think like, what if he's like a demon child? And they're like, they just don't tell the parents.
They'll figure it out.
Well, right. But that just made me laugh too, because it's like, what if this shit's happening at home? It doesn't sound like it is, because the place is already haunted. But it just made me laugh at the thought of like, we're not telling these parents that this baby is possessed.
Right. But like, okay, I'm the parent. You're Lily. You're going to tell me that I'm a baby demon child. Mm-hmm. Go.
Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Theo. So something happened today. Baby Theo's totally fine, but during nap time, he was standing outside of his crib on the floor, staring at the wall. I know he can't stand yet. I know he can't get out of his crib. I can't really explain it. I did go in there and he was asleep in his crib. You know what? No, I'm not doing this. This is fucked up.
So I'm like, wait, are you sure that you really saw it? Like, yeah, you know how this is going to go.
Yeah, right. Because then they're going to be like,
wait,
so
is he okay?
You're a psycho. Yeah, he's totally fine. He's totally fine.
Do you have any mental health issues?
Well, I mean.
I'm on what?
Anti-anxiety medication. But like, don't. It's okay.
You know, it just would go so poorly.
Disclose any medications I take to you for privacy reasons. this is fucked up. This is really terrifying. I also would love to know any other stories from any of your coworkers about that place, because if you have a demon child standing in the center of the room when that baby cannot stand, I really can only imagine what else has been going on there for 30 years.
Yeah, but
or
like
28,
what?
Excuse me, the incredibly young age of 28,
yeah,
by the way.
That's correct. Thank you. When's its birthday?
No, but anyway, if you have more stories like this, please send them to us, because this is very fun to hear about a haunted daycare. Like, that sucks that a daycare is haunted.
Yeah. Like, how does this not shake your perception of reality to its core, you know?
It sounds like it kind of did, because I think it helps that both of them saw it.
Yeah, because then you know you're not crazy. It's just like some freaky shit you can't explain.
Right. Well, this is the perfect way to...
Wait, no. We're not done with it. Oh, also, please. It was 98. Like, what the fuck happened in that short period of time, so young, that it's this haunted?
Places are haunted all the time.
Who died there?
Maybe... The land is haunted. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe someone died in the building. Maybe someone brought in a ghost. Maybe it was just like attached to someone else and they brought it in and it said, this is a nice place. I'd like to stay here.
Well, what we do know is that I don't want to work there.
And we can say that with certainty. But also, Isabel said, love my job. I love being an educator. I love working with kids. This is my dream job even. Like, what do you do? What do you do if you're working your dream job? But by the way, it's also very haunted.
Go find it somewhere else.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe it's like few and far between enough that it's the dream job outweighs the, you know, demon babies every now and again.
Maybe, but I don't know. There's got to be other baby cares.
Yeah, but
I get it. You know, it's a bitch and a half to find another job.
And also, this place needs to have educators as well, even though it's haunted.
That's true. Poor
and thank
Theo.
You. And thank you for doing your job because what? You're very brave.
Very true. The other crazy thing is like Theo is going to go on through life and have no idea.
Oh, none. Literally zero idea.
Unless he is actually a baby demon child.
Yeah, right. Unless he's actually possessed.
He'll go on to do demon things, but you know. Probably he'll just go through his life and he'll have no idea that this happened.
Yeah. And that's kind of funny.
Like he's just snoring, mouth open, loving life.
Yeah, peaceful as hell.
Yep. Pooping in his diaper. Not a care in the world.
Right. And oh, by the way, you were standing in the center of the room and...
Staring at the wall.
Staring at the wall and screaming like you were in pain, by the way. But you were also asleep, so it's totally fine.
Right.
Makes perfect sense.
Very cool. Well, let's not meet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's not meet. Thank you, Isabel, for your story. This was the perfect way to ring in the spooky season. And I will most likely be sharing spooky stories with you all in the future, coming soon. But anyway, why don't we move on to a bit of a palate cleanser and you can tell me your good thing so that we can go on with our days as normal. What is your good thing?
Why don't you go first this time?
Sure. My good thing is that yesterday was my birthday at the time that we're recording and you've gotten me a little teapot.
A teapot?
Yeah, I've gotten really into loose leaf tea and Alex got me a nice teapot for steeping a bunch of leaves at once to make a pot of tea. I'm very excited about it. I get to steep my tea and have a lot of tea at once instead of just making one punk-ass cup of tea at a time.
Exactly. So I think that I have threaded the needle between thoughtful and useful this year.
Congratulations. So you did a good job.
I beat back the beast this year.
Beat back the beast?
I don't know. It always is like, I get really stressed about it because it's gift giving. I'm not good at it. It's not my first thing. I like really have to sit down and like think for probably like a few hours over a few days, you know?
Well, that's
and
okay.
It stresses me out because then it's like, if I get the wrong one, you're like, oh, thanks for the teapot. You know,
no.
It sucks.
This is, by the way, a self-inflicted stressor. I feel like I've never been like, oh, shitty gift, by the way.
I know. It's not you, but I felt this way my whole life. Like,
no, it is stressful to not like be able to come up with a gift that you're like, yeah, this one's definitely going to knock it out of the park. But
right.
My point is that you did a good job. So
that's good.
So thank you for my teapot.
I'll insert myself into your good thing. My good thing is that we had some awesome sushi, which was buy one, get one free rolls.
For some reason. Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
I was like, bet? And it was good. No?
That was...
Was that chuggy?
Oh.
Oh, no. I'm digging the whole worst.
You're making 1998 feel really old right now.
I'm so young, though.
1997, even. The sushi is a good thing.
Yeah.
That's
good. I got nothing else.
The sushi is good.
Sometimes just the extra roll of the buy one, get one free, the free roll is what keeps you going.
I agree.
You know? And it was
great.
It was a birthday dinner. It was the best of times. That's my good thing.
Hell yeah. Well, thank you all so much for listening. If you would like to send in a story of your own, send it to notodaypodcast@gmail.com. We post pictures of all the stories we talk about over on Instagram, @notoday_podcast. I am finally caught up, so go check it out. If you would like to hear all of our bonus episodes, head over to patreon.com/nottodaypodcast. We have a TikTok that is not today podcast and a Twitter that is not today podcast, but the T on the net podcast is a 3.
Because that makes sense.
And just keep breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.